why you don't question those solutions and put them to test and test the validity of those solutions. And when once you find that they don't work, you have to throw them out, you see, down the drain, out of the window. But you don't do it because of the hope that somehow, you see, those solutions will give you the relief that you are after. The instrument which you are using is the one that has created this problem. And so that instrument will never, never accept the possibility that those solutions are fake solutions. They are not the solutions at all. The hope keeps you going. So that makes it difficult for you to look at the problems. I don't know, you see, if one solution fails, you go somewhere else and pick up another solution. If that solution fails, you see, you go somewhere else and pick up another solution. So you are shopping around with all these solutions, but never once will you look at this problem and it's only that you are interested in solutions. And you come here and ask, you see, the same question, I want another solution. I say, those solutions have not helped you at all. Why do you want another solution? You see, it will be the same. You will add one more to your list of solutions. But you will end up in exactly the same way. If you find the uselessness of one, if you see one of them, you have seen them all. You don't have to try one after the other. So what I am suggesting is, if that is the solution, you should be free from the problem. If that is not the solution, if there is nothing that you can do about it, even then the problem is nothing. So you are not interested in solving the problem because that will put an end to you. So you want the problems to remain. You want the hunger to remain, you see. Because if you are not hungry, you will not seek, you see, this food from all these holy men. See, what they are giving you is some scraps, you see, some bits of food, and you are satisfied. Even assuming for a moment that he can bit by bit, you see, give you. And thereby, you see, you are not dealing with the problem of hunger, but you are more interested, you see, in getting a bit more from that fellow who is promising you than dealing with your problem of hunger. Thereby, you see, you are not dealing with the problem of hunger, but you are more interested, you see, in getting a bit more from that fellow who is promising you than dealing with your problem of hunger.
It's like looking to a movie, running away from reality.
You never look at the problem. What is the problem? Anger, for example. I don't want to discuss all those silly things which these people have been discussing for centuries. Anger. Where is that anger? Can you separate the anger from the functioning of this body? It's like a wave in the ocean. Can you separate the waves from the ocean? You can sit there, wait until the waves subside so that you can have a swim in the ocean. So like the King Canute or somebody, we had to study that little poem, King Canute and tides, you see. Those waves in the ocean will disappear so that we can have a swim in a calm ocean. That will never happen. All right, you sit there and learn all about, you see, how these waves, the high tide and the low tide are caused in the oceans. The scientists give us all kinds of explanations. That is why they are. So the knowledge are about that, you see, the scientific way of explaining those tides, low or high, is not going to be of any help to you. So you are not really dealing with anger at all, you see. Where do you feel the anger, first of all? Where do you feel all these so-called problems you want to be free from, the desires? The burning desire, the desire burns you, you know. Hunger burns you. So the solutions you have or the means is very simple and makes it burn itself out in your system. Where do you feel? See, the fear, where do you feel? The fear you feel here at the pit of your stomach. It is part of the body. So the body cannot take those, you see, the high tides and low tides of this energy that is there in your body. So you are wanting to suppress it for some reason, for spiritual or for social reasons, is not going to succeed. Actually, you are not dealing with anger. Anger is energy. It's a tremendous outburst of energy. And by destroying that through any means, you are destroying, you see, the very expression of life itself. So it becomes a problem only when you try to do something with that. You understand? So when once it is absorbed by the system, you will not do the things that you think you will do if the anger is left alone. So you are actually not dealing with the anger, but the frustration. You understand? Or to avoid such a situation which has resulted in clumsiness in your relationships or in your understanding of yourself, that should not appear again. So in the future, you are interested in, but this time you have not succeeded, you see, in doing anything with the anger. So you want to be prepared to meet such situations as and when they arise in the future. So the instrument which you are using has been used by you so far all these times. Every time there is an outburst of anger, you have used this, you have not succeeded in freeing yourself from the anger. So you don't have any extraordinary instrument. You won't come into possession of anything extraordinary other than this instrument which you have been using all these years, and at the same time you hope that somehow this very thing will help you to be free from the anger tomorrow. It is the same hope.
No, but another example, somebody is very angry. He or she becomes violent.
Yes, the violence is absorbed by the body.
And a threatening.
To whom?
To other people.
Yes, so what?
Running around with a knife.
All right, so what?
Killing somebody else.
Yeah, why are you killing people, thousands of people, you see, for no fault
I'm
of...
I'm in a room.
No, but you... Why
somebody
do,
is
that
very
why
angry.
You are, you know, why you are limiting into, you see, something which is natural there, but why you are not condemning, you see, the nations that are dropping these cluster bombs on helpless people? Do you call them sane? Why are you condemning this particular thing? You see, both of them have sprung from the same source. So long will you indulge in such atrocious things and justify them because that are the only way to protect your way of life and your way of thinking. These two things go together. Why do you justify that? That is insane. For no fault of this, he is not hurting you. See, he is disturbing your way of life. There is a danger of that man taking away everything which you consider to be your precious thing. So this idea of, you see, stopping this man from acting when there is an outburst of anger is exactly the same. You see, the religious man has found that, you see, he will be antisocial. You understand? An angry man will be an antisocial man. So as long as he practices virtues, so long he will remain an antisocial man. He will act out of anger. When that goal that the society has placed for yourself, when that same goal which you have accepted for yourself as an ideal goal to be practiced is finished for you, you will not, you see, harm anybody, either individually or collectively as a nation. So you have to deal with the anger. You are dealing with something totally unrelated with the anger. Not even once, you see, you let that anger burn itself out within the framework where it originates and functions. you know, and you see hitting your neighbors, having some therapy of hitting your pillows, you see hitting this, that and the other, is just, you see, a joke. You know, that does not free the man from the anger once and for all.
So hitting on a pillow. Hitting on a pillow, no.
That's what they do, one of the therapies they have, all because you can't hit, you see.
It doesn't help.
It appears again. You take it out on something, pillow, you see. Whether you take it out on the pillow or on somebody else, your neighbor or your husband or wife, as the case may be, he can take it in the name of love. That's a different matter. If you try it on your boss working in an office, you have had it. You had it, no have, you see. So you'll be out of your job. So what do you do? That is the goal which you have placed for yourself. So you are not dealing with anger. You will never deal with this anger at all. As long as you are interested in finding out a way of not hitting your, you see, the person who is coming with a knife. So you have to protect yourself. I am not for a moment saying what you have to do is protect yourself. Instead of that, you see, you are using anger, you see, as a shield, which is making it impossible for you to physically protect yourself. That is essential. I am not saying for a moment, your anger makes it impossible for you to deal with that situation. You will deal with another, take the chair and hit that fellow. You don't say that, you see, it's non-violence or you should not hurt somebody else. He's hurting you. You read in the Bible, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You never practice them. Of course, they practice it, you see, on a larger scale. But in daily life, it is something terrible to do. So I don't see any problem at all. I don't see any problem. Nobody wants to look at the problem, see. For the simple reason, he is more interested in solutions rather than the problem. What is the problem? So there is no point in discussing those hypothetical situations for the simple reason that a person who is hopping mad with anger, burning with anger, will not sit and discuss the question of anger. You know? That is amazing. That's the time to deal with those things. When you are really burning with anger, burning with desire, burning with all those things that you want to be free from. Otherwise, you see, it becomes a classroom discussion. You see, somebody talking on the anatomy of the anger, anatomy of how the anger arises, or the anatomy of love. It's too ridiculous. Or offer solutions which don't work when there is really a situation like that. So that's the reason why I don't discuss all these things. No problem. There's no problem for the individual. When he's mad with anger, that's the time for him to deal with it, you see. So where is the time for him to do it? You cannot do two things together, you see. It stops the thinking. You think that man will act, you see, in a thoughtless way. He will act in a thoughtless way because you are not dealing with the anger at that moment. But how not, you see, or how to prevent the results of letting that anger stay there. So it is that is responsible for beating, you see, or doing something. But actually not when the anger is burning the whole of your being. So, we are stuck again. There's no way of separating yourself from the problem. That's what you are trying. You see, that is what I mean by saying that you are putting anger out there and trying to look and deal with it as if it's an object outside of you. It is something outside of you. So when you separate yourself, the only action is what you fear would happen. That is inevitable. So you have no way of controlling that at all. See, is there anything that you can do to prevent this separation from what you are? It is a horrible thing, you see, to realize that you are yourself anger, and whatever you do to stop that, prevent it, you see, or do something about it, is false. That will be tomorrow or in your next life, not now. So that is what you are. You are not a spiritual man or a religious man. You can imagine that you are a religious man, you are, because you are trying to control your anger, or trying to be free from anger, or trying to be less and less angry as years go by. You see, all that makes you feel that, you see, you are not that vicious man, you see, whom you avoid. You see, you are no different. You are not any more spiritual than, you see, the people whom you condemn. Because tomorrow you are going to be a marvelous person. You will be free from anger. What do you want me to do in the meantime? Admire you? Because you have put on a label that you are a spiritual man, or that you have put on fancy robes. What do you want me to do? For that you want me to admire? There is nothing there to be admired, because you are as vicious as anybody else in this world. If you condemn that, you see, condemning that has no meaning, or adopting a posture, you see, which is totally unrelated to what is happening there, has no meaning either. So how can you put on this, you see, posture, you see, or adopt some kind of an attitude and feel superior to the animals? The animals are better, you see, than the humans. There is an anger, you see, it acts, and that is only for the purpose of survival. You understand? Only for survival. If you kill, you see, your fellow man for feeding yourself, that is a moral act. You know? Only for that purpose, because you look around, one form of life lives on another form of life. And if you talk of vegetarianism and kill millions of people, that is the most immoral, unpardonable act that a civilized culture human being can ever do. You see the absurdity of the two. You condemn this, you see, you love the animals. What for? Do you love the animals? What about the human beings there? You are murdering, massacring, simply because they are a threat to you. They are one day going to take away everything that you have. So in anticipation of those people coming and robbing everything you think have a right to, so you want to prevent the possibility by massacring them in the name of a belief, in the name of God knows what. That is what religions have done right from the beginning. So what is the point in reviving all those religions? What is the point in all those hordes of gurus coming into these countries, preaching something that does not operate in their lives or in the countries they come from? They can talk of oneness of life, unity of life, all the time, but that doesn't operate there in their lives. What does it mean? So you condemn this simple thing, that is a necessity for your survival. That's a very moral action, you see, not to survive, not to feed yourself, is an act of perversion. Suffering is the foundation on which the whole Christian religion is built. Don't forget that. So you suffer in the hope of getting a permanent seat there in heaven, non-existing heaven. You are going through hell now in the hope of reaching heaven after your death. What for? So suffer. All religions emphasize that, you know. Bear the pain. Endurance of pain is the means. You go through hell in the hope of having paradise at the end of your life, or the end of series of lives, if you want to believe. I'm only just pointing out the absurdity of talking about these things. The religious things have really no meaning. When you are pushed into a corner, you will behave exactly like, you see, anybody else. So this culture, your values, religious or otherwise, haven't touched a bit there. If man is freed from this moral dilemma, which has been the basis of the whole thinking of man, then he will live, you see, like a human being, not a spiritual man, not a religious man. Religious man is no good for this society. A kind man is a menace to the society, one who is practicing kindness as a fine art.
It's a menace?
It's a menace to the society, yeah. Because all this destruction has come out of that. You know, one who talked of love, one who talked of love thy neighbor as thyself, one who talked of non-violence, you see, all the destructive forces originated in the thinking of that man. So we are all the inheritors of that culture. So we can't do anything but use that. So you are freed from the burden of this, you see, the falseness of the whole culture. That's all the time. Individually, you are freed from the totality of all the absurdities that have been imposed on us. That's all that I'm saying.
But I can't really accept.
You can't accept, I know.
No, I can't accept that there are persons.
Yes.
Like, for instance, Jesus.
Yes.
Not Christianity, not the church.
Yes.
Who are real people.
Why did they put him on the cross and nail him to death? He was a man.